The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 2, text number 14, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on June 20th, 2016, in Floreal, Mauritius.
Repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Matra sparsha stukanteya shitoshna sukadukada agamapayano nityashtangsatiksha svabharata. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of the winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O scion of Bharata, and one must learn how to tolerate them without being disturbed. Purport. In the proper discharge of duty, one has to learn to tolerate non-permanent appearances and disappearances of happiness and distress. According to Vedic injunction, one has to take his bath early in the morning, even during the month of Magh, January, February. It is very cold at that time. But in spite of that, a man who abides by the religious principles does not hesitate to take his bath. Similarly, a woman does not hesitate to cook in the kitchen in the months of May and June, the hottest part of the summer season. One has to execute his duty in spite of climatic inconveniences. Similarly, to fight is the religious principle of the Kshatriyas, and although one has to fight with some friend or relative, one should not deviate from his prescribed duty. One has to follow the prescribed rules and regulations of religious principles in order to rise up to the platform of knowledge, because by knowledge and devotion only can one liberate himself from the clutches of Maya illusion. The two different names of address given to Arjuna are also significant. To address him as Kaunteya signifies his great blood relations from his mother's side, and to address him as Bharata signifies his greatness from his father's side. From both sides, he is supposed to have a great heritage. A great heritage brings responsibility in the matter of proper discharge of duties. Therefore, he cannot avoid fighting. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padukamalam Shri Gudun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschachadevshatarine. So one may argue, well, I don't come from great parentage. My parents were just ordinary personalities of this world, so I don't have any responsibility to be a great person because I don't come from a great parentage. But from one who takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, that is a great responsibility, you see. When you take initiation of a bona fide spiritual master, you have the greatest heritage. Therefore, one has to, just as Arjuna is expected to act in accordance with his great heritage. Of course, he's got three. He's got his mother's side, his father's side, and being the follower, disciple of Krishna, He's got it from three sides. So anyone who has taken shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, especially by initiation, they have a duty to obediently live up to their responsibilities. And this verse is emphasizing tolerance. Just like now we're having the anti-Slycone here. It's just like really disturbing in many ways. Especially if you're someone like myself who's going out to wants to do videos. You know, I go out to do a video and the rain comes, the wind comes, it now blows the camera over. It's just one thing after another, you see. I do a daily video. How many of you have seen video for the day on the internet? A few of you. Yeah. So there's a lot of disturbances to do video for the day because of this anti-cyclone. But still, I have to do my duty, you see. Many people are waiting for video for the day. And I say, well, heck with it, this anti-cyclone, forget about it. Too much hassle, the wind knocks the camera over, the rain comes, I get all wet sitting there trying to do a video, and the rain came in the middle of the video, and it's just, so no, one has to be tolerant. Whatever duty you have, whatever responsibility you have to do it in spite of all the dualities of the material nature. Sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's cold, sometimes it's wet, sometimes it's dry. Sometimes people appreciate what you're doing. Sometimes people hate you for what you're doing, you see. But you have to go on and stick with your duty. That's how you become a great soul, you see. One who sticks to his duty in all circumstances, in spite of all the dualities. The dualities are always here. We're being ripped by the dualities. So you have to be tolerant and not allow the dualities to get in the way of doing your duty. Just like the initiates, they take the duty. Every day I will chant 16 rounds of japa mala, no matter what. Whether it's easy that day, whether it's difficult, it doesn't matter because I made a vow every day I will do 16 rounds of japa mala, you see. So that steadiness to chanting those rounds every day in all circumstances makes them very powerful spiritually. It enables them to master the art of keeping their mind fixed on Krishna in all circumstances. You may say, well, what's the advantage of doing that? Well, I can tell you, Yam Krishna explains in Gita, Yam Yam Vapi Smaram Bhavam Chajanjante Kalevaram Tam Tam Me Vaitikonteya Sadata Bhavabhavataha. From one who remembers me at the time of death, you see, he comes to me. Whatever state of being one remembers, when he leaves that body, he leaves his body, that state he will attain without fail, O son of Kunti. So the time of death is a very disturbing time. Very, very disturbing time. Now all of a sudden you're going to lose everything you had, your house, everything, your money, your car, your guitar, whatever you had. You're going to lose all of it. Your family's going to, you're going to be separated from your family. Everything's taken away, you see. All of it. Death is a very heavy, heavy, heavy experience. That's why you need to train yourself. By chanting this japa mala every day, Hare Krishna japa mala, in all circumstances, whether it's happiness, distress, pain, pleasure, glorification, criticism, it doesn't matter. Whatever is there, I do my 16 rounds without fail. This means I learn how to keep my mind fixed in any circumstance. And when death comes, I train myself. Because I could chant my japa under disturbing situations. Now I'm faced the disturbing situation of death. And again I can, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the result is, when you remember Krishna at the time of death, you get out of this nasty place. You back to Goloka Vrindavan. I just heard Prabhupada today talking about the result for those who die in Krishna consciousness. You go back to Vrindavan, you can be water, you can be a plant, you can be a cow, you can be a butterfly, you can be a peacock feather, you can be a flute, you can be a cowherd boy, you can be in a parental relationship with Krishna, you can be a gopi. You go back and take up some role in Krishna's eternal lila, like we have a painting here on the altar, you see. The rasa lila, you see. Not only the gopis participating, the peacocks are also there, relishing the rasa lila. You see the peacocks there? The moon is also there, you see. There's so many bushes also, and so many blades of grass. They're also relishing the rasa lila. They're getting the gopis, and Krishna is stepping on them, and they're in ecstasy as Krishna steps on them, and the radha and the gopis step on them during the rasa lila. So those are all living entities, every one of them. Peacocks, the grass, the bushes, the gopis, you see. So there's unlimited number of living entities in the spiritual world having an unlimited number of ecstatic, loving exchanges with Krishna. And there's no fear there of terrorism or anti-cyclones or cyclones or taxes or old age, disease and death. No worry about money, no worry about food. Everything is there. There's no old age. You don't get sick. You don't die. You're an eternal youth. Can you imagine being 16 years old permanently? The energy and enthusiasm of a 16-year-old? You see? That's what it is. You don't get a wrinkled old face like mine. You see? The spiritual world. So that's waiting for us, but you have to train yourself how to be Krishna conscious. And you may say, well, it's not that important really. I mean, I got my family duties, I have my job. Why are you giving more importance to those things that are less important? This is less intelligent. Do not give more importance to those things that are less important. You have to give most importance to that which is most important. Otherwise, at the time of death, you're going to be, I wasn't ready. And you take birth again. You see? You got to learn how to fix your mind on Krishna under all circumstances. So maybe there's some questions I can try to answer them. You can answer it, sir. Okay. Many persons argue that they are still young, so there's no need to engage in spiritual life. What does old mean? It means just on the verge of death, doesn't it? So can any of you say you're not on the verge of death? I just saw in the news there's some young actor. He was just starting his career. He just, 27-year-old kid. He hit it big time in Hollywood. A freak auto accident, he was killed. 27. Huh? 24-year-old singer also. Oh, the female singer. Plus, that there was a member of parliament in the UK. She went out to meet with her constituents, and she was assassinated on the street. A member of parliament in Britain, a young woman with two kids. She was assassinated, murdered on the street. So, the point. Babies die in the womb. How many children die? How many little babies die? I mean, death can come at any time. Don't put the finger in the mouth. Okay. So the point is, you have to understand death can come at any time. So every day when you chant your round, you think, well, I could die today. Today could be the day that I leave my body. Just like a few minutes ago, I lost some part of my microphone kit. I thought maybe it's up on the roof. So I went up on the roof with my flashlight. I was looking around this gust. I was looking over the edge of the building. Maybe it dropped off. This big gust of wind came, and I was thinking, you know, I could die right now. I could be blown off this roof. It could be all over. You see? But Krishna, it wasn't Krishna's plan for me to die tonight, but I could have been blown off the roof. I was looking down. Where is that pouch that I love for my microphone? And this whoosh, this wind came, and I was right at the edge, two stories high. I was looking over. It could have blown me right off the roof. I could have been dead. I could have been having a funeral for me tomorrow, you see, instead of me coming for the lecture. Oh, Sankarsan Prabhu died. He's supposed to give a lecture tonight, but he just died. It could have happened. You see, so we have to be taken that seriously.
Nobody wants to die, and nobody wants to think about it.
We don't want to think about it, but I guarantee you, you say, well, it's too morbid, I don't want to think about it. But wait a minute. That means you're not prepared. I was in the Boy Scouts, and our motto was, be prepared. So if you want to really live your life properly, you have to be prepared for death at any minute. And then you're really alive. I'll tell you, if you're not prepared for death, you're dead already. You're dead. If you're prepared for death, you're ready to die at any minute by always being Krishna conscious, then you're truly alive. So don't kill yourself by not being prepared for death. You be prepared for death and you'll be alive, fully alive, because now you're transcendental to your bodily concept. You know, your sense of identity is no longer tied to your material body. Now you're connecting with the Atma, your actual self, and you become full of bliss because nothing can touch you now. When you're ready for death, nothing can touch you. You see, your Atma is death-proof. So as long as you identify with the body, you're subject to death. As long as you identify, and to the extent you identify as Atma, you're death-proof. So remember Krishna. That brings you back to your Atma consciousness. Okay. Next question. What happens if a devotee dies without remembering Krishna? Well, he takes birth again. Simple thing. You have to train yourself to remember Krishna. Are the gopis above their lady's bodily concept in the spiritual world? That doesn't work that way, sorry. In the spiritual world, you are your body. It's different. In the spiritual world, you are your body. That is you.
There's no difference in the body and the soul.
The body and the soul is the same thing, you see. A devotee has vowed to chant a minimum of 16 rounds a day. And the devotee was sick, what he should do? He should chant extra rounds when he's sick. He has nothing to do. He's laying in bed. He might as well chant extra rounds instead of just sleeping the whole day. Oh, spacing out. Chant extra rounds when you're sick. You're laying in bed. You don't think you're not going to work. Hey, you can chant and read. It's a great opportunity to increase your chanting and reading. Is it true that the devas and devatas were not allowed to watch them? Yeah. Oh, actually, there's a picture of the... They're watching from the airplanes. Some of them. Shiva had to stay outside as the security service. He couldn't participate, but in all likelihood was able to watch from the security guard, could see what was going on in all likelihood. How is a guru affected or gets reactions from offenses made by a disciple? The guru can get sick, so don't commit any offenses. You can cause your guru to be in great distress. Say two words about Vraj Mandal. say a few words. It is simply wonderful. Okay, please tell us more about a devotee's personal dealings towards other devotees and people in general at the office. A devotee is the well-wisher of all living entities. He's trying to help everybody become Krishna conscious. As I many times explained, one of my godbrothers working in the office, he would place a Bhagavad Gita on his desk, and one co-worker said, "What is that book?" And he became a devotee just by my godbrother putting a Gita on his desk. He made a devotee at the office. So you should always think, how can I preach? There's like in the break room, bring a plate of cookies once a week, prasadam cookies or whatever is popular here in, I'm thinking of America, whatever is popular snack here in Mauritius, you bring a nice plate of that. You know, it could be sweet balls or whatever is popular, but be popular in the office. Could be cookies, whatever works, cake, you know, rasagulas, sandesh, you know, something. Bring a sweet every week and put it in the break room at your office for all the co-workers. And they'll just be looking forward. I can't wait to get one of those, you see. So always think how you can spread Krishna consciousness. Why in Vrindavan some Brijabasis worship demigods? They worship the demigods for the purpose of Krishna consciousness. The gopis were worshipping goddess Kajayani to get Krishna as their husband. And he fulfilled their desire because a woman can only be seen naked by her husband and no one else. So Krishna agreed to be like that. And he had all the gopis. He went to where they were bathing in the private place in the river. They were bathing naked in the river. And he sat there and had them come out naked. So this way he accepted all of them as his wives. They were worshipping, wanting Krishna as their husband, and he fulfilled their desire by sitting there in the bathing place. In this verse, it is stated that happiness and distress arise from sense perception. Does it mean that karma is secondary to our happiness and distress? It means that actually, for one who is purely in Krishna consciousness, there is no distress any longer. It's your only due to your perception. What is perceived as distress by an ordinary person, for a fully realized soul, is actually another manifestation of transcendental bliss. So it is due to our sense perception that we experience these dualities. But the fact is, there are things that are pleasant and unpleasant in the material world, and that is according to your karma. But one can rise above karma and sense perception by going deep, deep, deep into the ocean of Krishna consciousness. Anytime you'd like to add something, please feel free. If one boss is committing some atrocities upon someone, should that person be tolerant? If one boy or one boss? One BAU, looks like. One boss, BOSS, yeah. Should one be tolerant, not react? Well, there was a case many years ago in ISKCON, temple president was allowing some nonsense to go on, and the devotees tolerated it, and Prabhupada was not very pleased. There was one lady who was a con artist, and she came to the temple and said that she was the heiress to the Toyota fortune, that is a Japanese woman. And the devotees believed it, and the temple president married her, thinking, oh, she's the heiress to the Toyota fortune, and this kind of have unlimited money. I just had to marry this woman. Actually, she was just a con artist. And after she married the temple president, she had a fondness for what's called Chinese egg rolls. So she was having these offered to Radha Govinda with eggs. And the devotees weren't saying anything because she was the heiress to the Toyota fortune. you know, they didn't say anything. She was very big. I remember she came to our Miami temple. She had a personal attendant. And she, while she's hearing the Bhagavatam class, she'd be fanned with a chamara whisk, hearing the class. Nowadays, our gurus don't even fan with a chamara whisk, maybe on their Vyas Puja. But there's nobody fanning me with a chamara whisk while I give the class. But she was sitting there hearing the class and getting a chamara while she was hearing the class. So she was the wife of the boss, the temple president, and she was having eggs offered to the deities, and no one dared say anything. But Prabhupada was very displeased. Devotees should have said something. You can't offer eggs to the deities. You see? We have to stand up for what is right. How can we convince someone that Srila Prabhupada was not an ordinary person? By your becoming convinced. Are you totally convinced he's not an ordinary person? Or do you just say, oh yes, Prabhupada's not an ordinary person? But are deep within your heart, are you truly convinced he's not an ordinary person? Is he? If you are, you'll have no trouble convincing others. You're asking this question because you are not totally convinced. That's a fact. That's why you're asking this question. So now you become convinced that Prabhupada is not an ordinary person. An ordinary person could have not have done what Srila Prabhupada did. Could not have done that. With only 40 rupees, an old man, two heart attacks. Living practically like a beggar in New York City. Started this worldwide movement, Krishna Shakti Vinitarit. Krishna Shakti Vinitarit. That's what is that verse? How does that verse go? Krishna Shakti. Unless one has the Shakti of Krishna, he cannot spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So you have to see by the symptoms that there's no way Prabhupada could be an ordinary man. Sometimes even the disciples make this mistake. They think they try to analyze Prabhupada from an academic viewpoint. Well, he was sectarian, he was dogmatic. This is very, very offensive. Extremely offensive. Prabhupada is perfectly giving the absolute truth. Oma jnana timarandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. I was standing in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master came with the torchlight of knowledge and he's forcing my eyes open. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Why people don't worship the deity of Brahma in temples across India? Because that is not... That's because we're supposed to worship Krishna. Brahma worship is not recommended. Krishna worship is recommended. They don't worship Krishna enough. We shouldn't worry why they don't worship Brahma. We should see why they're not worshiping Krishna. They're not worshiping Krishna as the Supreme Person. That should be done. Why are they not doing that? That's what we should be trying to figure out and solve that problem. It is said that in the spiritual world there is only one male Krishna. Why is this so? Actually, there are male-bodied personalities there, but there is also another meaning of male and female. Male means Purusha and female means Prakriti. Male means enjoyer and female means enjoyed. So all of the devotees, both male and female, are all Prakriti. They're all female in the sense they're all enjoyed by Krishna, although some have male forms and some have female forms. Anything else? Any other questions that you'll have? You can always raise your hand too. Anyone have questions? So all I can say to you, my dear devotees, please do not miss the opportunity this human life is giving you. Do you know how many births you've gone through to get to this human body? It's uncountable. Don't take this as some part-time, you know, hobby. This is your purpose for living. You have no other purpose for living other than to awaken your Krishna consciousness. You have to understand this. I have no other purpose for my life except to awaken my Krishna consciousness. If you think you have some other purpose, you're an illusion. Come out of the illusion that you have any other duty besides surrendering to Krishna. Krishna says, Sarva dharman paditjaja, mamekang sharanang vaja, ahang tvang sarva pape bhyo, mokshyashami mashuchaha. Give up all other duties, forget it, just forget them. You only have one duty, and that is to fully surrender yourself to Krishna. If you think you have other duties, you're in illusion. You're in a state of confusion, and you'll have to take birth after birth after birth in profusion. So kick out the illusion. Come out of the confusion. Realize you have one duty and one duty only, and that's to surrender to Krishna. And take it very seriously. And then Krishna will give you all help. He'll give you all intelligence. How you can serve Him perfectly in every time, place, and circumstance, with every thought, with every word, and every deed. And you'll become perfect. Thank you very much.